Welcome to Life Together, a podcast for Gresham Bible Church, where we exist to glorify God in being disciples who make disciples of all people through the transforming power of the gospel. In this episode, we consider the important question, how do I know God's will for my life? We've all wrestled with that question, haven't we? In decisions about what God wants for our lives, in decisions about relationships and careers and even ministry, what are the biblical principles and categories that help us discern God's will? So join us as we briefly explore together, how do I know God's will for my life? This conversation today, what is God's will for your life? So before we jump in to let people know where we're coming from, I've heard from a few different members in the life of our church over the last few months asking this question. So I thought it'd be good for us to talk it through. What is God's will for your life? Could be the young person wondering what college they're supposed to go to or military, what career. Could be someone in a relationship making decisions. What is God's will for your life? Could be your vocation or your career. Could be maybe someone considering full-time ministry. So let's lean into how do we as Christians determine as best we can what is God's will for your life?
I have the directory pulled up. Are we not just telling each person at right. GBC what their will, God's will? Oh,
that's amazing.
Sorry, I misunderstood the assignment.
I mean, no, but yeah. So how about just real quick, I thought it'd be good for the conversation, welcome people into it. How about for you guys, how have you heard this question asked? And have you asked this question of yourself at a certain time? And then we'll kind of talk through some categories. So Jordan, how have you known what God's will is for your life?
Prompting of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's part of it. It's definitely a question I've heard, definitely a question I've had in youth ministry. I definitely hear this question all the time. Mm-hmm. So we know from scripture, a general calling, general what the will of God is for our lives. Love God, love people, fulfills the commandments. If we love Jesus, we'll obey his commands. So then I guess, okay, what are his commands? And then you get an idea of what God's will is for your life, which would apply generally to everyone. I think what's been most helpful to me in just discerning things is having mature brothers and sisters in Christ around me who I've sought their prayer and their counsel. And more often than not, when I've talked to separate people who haven't talked to each other, they've given similar pieces of advice and wisdom. Hmm. And then through my own thinking as well, it's like, okay, I was kind of leaning that direction and three different people I trust are saying the same thing. And so, okay, I think that that's what God's will is. And I think there's sometimes I've been more confident, assured of a decision and other times not as much. Mm. And I think that's okay too. So yeah, I don't know. That's general for me of how things have gone.
That's really good. Okay. Todd, how about you? How do you know God's will for your life?
Well, not to get super deep right off the bat, but
let's do it.
I think we can know perfectly what God's will is in retrospect, if we're talking about that kind of will.
Sure.
His secret will, his plan for all the ages. I believe that God is sovereign and everything is going exactly like he knows, or knows that it is, knew that it would, whatever tenses you want to use with that. He has his revealed will for us that is spelled out on the pages of scripture. Yeah, and so when people ask me, what is God's will for my life? I say, well, that's easy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification.
Right? That was going to be one of my verses to read.
That you abstain from sexual immorality.
Yeah, right?
Amen. And so this is God's revealed will, all of the commands in scripture. And then after that, I think there's just wisdom. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't work this way, just hypothetically, say there's an individual who had two Christian people of the opposite sex who wanted to marry that person, and they're both prospects are followers of Jesus Christ, then whichever, right? Yep. Can't marry both. So I know that. That's God's will. But which one? I don't think you're going to make a wrong choice per se.
That's good.
You can make an unwise choice, but I don't think you're going to make a wrong choice. You need to rack your brain, rack yourself over on that. Or, you know, a job. Talk with people about what would be wise, people who know you, read the Word of God, pray, ask for wisdom. But as long as you're not violating the revealed will of God, I don't think you're going to mess the thing up.
Yeah.
Now, you've been around a lot longer than the three of us sitting in this room right now. I'm not saying how old you are. So at what point did you stop casting lots to know God's will?
Man, if only it were that easy. I am not beyond, or I haven't been beyond in my life, like putting out the fleece.
The fleece. Yeah.
Man, that would be so nice. Because then you don't, but that runs so contrary, I think, to what the Lord wants from us. He wants us to grow up in wisdom and wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And,
and last of casting of lots is pre-Holy Spirit. That's the last time we see it. So
yeah, no, that's a good point too. I mean, I do think that the Spirit of God will prompt us to do things. Yeah. It's not always easy to discern that.
Totally.
But I don't think we ought to think that every choice the Spirit is going to prompt us to do one thing or the other.
Yeah, that's a good
as
point.
Well. Yeah. But sometimes, certainly, and.
How about, so for you, Todd, just hearing you talk this out right now, and Jordan, what you said. So when you made the career change earlier in your life, looking back now with hindsight, what were some of the key things to help you discern God's will that, hey, I should no longer do this and I should do this, right?
Well,
obviously the money was.
That's right. That's right.
Your engineer to a full-time seminary professor.
So obviously for married people, the way that I determine the will of God in my life is I usually just ask my wife, right?
Amen.
I kind of joke about that, but that's really true, right?
Sure. You know?
And this is going to sound really goofy, but I think it's true. I think that the axiom that I try to live by is love God and do what I want at that point.
Yes.
Now the doing what I want is definitely informed and modified and shaped, hopefully, by the loving God part.
Amen. Sure.
Following godly desires and things like that.
That's good. That's good. I think in this discussion, I'm sure we could all speak of this for a long time in our personal lives. And as we have these kind of conversations with people, most Christians would nod their head and be like, yes, I know God's revealed will, but I think we move past that too much sometimes in this conversation to like, there's some secret will, and there is, but we need to camp on His revealed will for us and let that frame things. So I thought I would just read a few scriptures to help us. Hey, what's God's will for my life? It's what God says in His word is always His will for us. So amen to the verse you read from 1 Thessalonians, Todd. I'm going to read two others. Also from 1 Thessalonians later on in the book, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. What's God's will for my life? It's this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then also 1 Peter 2, 15 and 16, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. So what's God's will for my life? Living as a servant of God. And I know, again, we know these things, but so often when people are, you know, pressed kind of in the furnace of decision-making, so to speak, those things kind of fade into the background, but those are important to be in the foreground of how we determine what God's will is. So if we say it's God's revealed will, and so many scriptures, we could just read Bible right now, right? What's God's will for my life? So if someone's in that process of decision-making, those things are believed and trusted and treasured. What are some additional truths of who God is and wisdom category things would you help equip people in a discerning process of determining what God's will is for your life? So we've said it should be in line with what Scripture says. Jordan, I heard you say pray a lot, trust the Spirit. other things come to mind? How can people determine what God's will is for their life?
In line with what Camille wants.
Yes. What Carrie wants.
Yes. Everyone who listens to this podcast, go ask Camille and Carrie on a Sunday.
Hey, right. What should I do? Yeah.
Totally. What? My wife would be happy to tell you.
No, I mean, I think that's good. So we have God's word, God's spirit through prayer, and God's people.
Yeah, God's people.
So you brought that up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the right way to say
that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And by that,
that's what I meant.
Yeah. I think people is a big one. I think another one, if we want to get another P word, is passions. Like, I think God calls us to things that we enjoy. Mm-hmm. If you're someone at our church, it's like, I don't do babies or I don't do teenagers, I doubt God's going to call you to serve in the nursery or the youth ministry now.
Which a lot of people think.
Yeah.
It's like, man, and you might have even heard testimonies like that, which are kind of goofy. It's like, the last thing in the world I wanted to do is go on the mission field.
Yeah.
But then that's where God sent me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, what? Because he wants you to be miserable?
Yeah. I just don't see that lining up with God. That doesn't mean that sometimes the things he calls us to won't be difficult or have their hardships, which certainly full-time ministry does, or just a volunteer or whatever, you know, vocation you do choose. It's not in ministry. Mm-hmm. But I think for the most part, you know, part of the giftings we have, not just spiritual gifts, but like unique abilities and passions and desires that make us who we are. I think God will help line those things up to fit in with things that we enjoy and are naturally good at. I think he'll stretch us too, but it seems really rare that the case is like God's asking us to do something that's a complete 180, other than the complete 180 of living a life of sin and repenting and turning to follow him. Yeah. Yeah, so I always will try to help people figure out, I don't know what God wants me to do. Of like, well, what do you enjoy doing? It's like, well, let's start there, you know? And okay, so then if you find what you enjoy, how can we not just sprinkle a little bit of God into that, but like infuse God into whatever that passion, desire, ability
that,
might be.
Because you're working with the presupposition of who God is and that he's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in all of that, like he's created us in certain ways, created his world in certain ways. You're to use everything you are to the glory of God. So I love he's not like out to get you. So you're working with presuppositions of who God is and his character and then leaning into that. Because how many times do people assume those things or actually impugn like God's out to get me and I have to find a secret will that's the only good path. Otherwise, I'm going to be disappointed and let down. Like, God's good.
Well, it just doesn't seem like that'd be an effective way for God to use people if he's calling people to things that make them miserable.
Yeah.
Like, how is that going to advance the kingdom of God?
Yeah, I think he's a better engineer than that.
I do too. I trust that. I feel like often we think that we understand things better than God does. It's like, no, I think God has a pretty clear indication of who we are and how we could best be used.
And then in that, don't you think it's true that God is also very concerned and about who we're becoming as people?
Oh, yeah.
So like in my seeking his will, I'm not static or in a vacuum. I'm becoming someone, and I should be becoming a more sanctified Christ follower because the verse we just read in 1 Thessalonians, God's will for my life to be sanctified. He cares about my holiness. So like, as especially I think for young people making decisions, it's not mostly about what decision you make. As important it is where you go to school, what you do for work, who you marry. From an eternal perspective, it's what kind of person am I becoming? And so I think that is a key part of it.
Yeah, calling
too.
To like our character more than where we live, what we do for work and stuff like that. Yeah.
How about any books you guys have found helpful on this? And I wanted to talk it through in a different way too. I'll share one real quick.
The Bible.
The Bible. Yeah. If someone comes to me and asks, what's God's will for my life? I think outside of the Bible, maybe the first one I'd recommend is Just Do Something by Kevin DeYoung. I love he demystifies it, gets away from hyper spiritual mumbo jumbo, and basically just says, do something.
Yeah. That's
good. And I think he's spot on.
Do you feel like when people are asking you this question, coming to, hey, pastor, I need some help figuring out God's will, is it them trying to figure out like how God can best use me, where I should be serving in the church? Mm-hmm. Is it a broader thing of like, I just don't know if I should take this job or
that's a good question.
How do you feel like those questions come up most often?
Yeah, I probably in both buckets. And then you'd map that onto a graph. It probably depending on what station of life or age someone is, you can kind of know ahead of time what they probably want to talk about. Yeah. So I'm like, hey, pastor, I want to talk to you about what God's will is for my life. And you know their age. Oh, I bet it's about this. And most of the time it is. So as people get older, it does seem to be more, where am I to serve in the local church? Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. When you're younger, and this was me, so I echo it. It's not a bad thing. It's, hey, what am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to date or marry? Those type of questions. So, yeah, I think in all of our life, we're always asking this question. It's a good question to ask. So by me recommending DeYoung's book is not saying get over yourself and don't ask that question. Not at all. Ask it, but don't do it navel gazing or just sitting in the corner and not being in the game. As you're asking the question, God helps you discern what his will is for your life as you're doing things he calls you to be about. So be a faithful son or daughter, be a faithful husband or wife, be a faithful member of a local church, move towards need, serve people, do the revealed will of God. And as you do those things day after day, rhythm after rhythm, God's forming you into a certain type of person. That seems like then your appetites are more sanctified and you'll desire the thing God wants you to desire. Like you said earlier, what your passions are, how God's gifted you. And as you do that, you give yourself to being formed in the local church.
Yeah.
So you're sanctified by your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're open to wisdom. You're not just in a vacuum by yourself making these decisions. So yeah, it seems like more and more as I am asked this question and think about it myself and as a dad with my kids, it's about be the kind of person and do the things that God tells you to be about. And then Todd, like you said, then let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah.
Love God and do what I want. So, and I know that sounds easy to say in some ways, but I think it's freeing. So anyway, be my two cents.
Yeah. One of the verses I held on to a lot in high school is I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I'm fortunate that some might disagree with it, but I did feel a call to vocational ministry in high school. Yeah. I'm not saying you guys disagree with it. We had a funny conversation before we started recording. Anyways, that's BTS behind the scenes is the lingo we use. But Psalm 34:7 was a verse I really latched onto, which says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that doesn't mean desires of your heart of like, man, I want to play for the Blazers one day. If I'm delighting myself in the will of God, the character of God, then my desires are going to probably naturally line up with what his will and desires would be. And so, you know, I was trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And man, I loved doing youth ministry and serving teenagers. And as I tried to delight myself in the Lord as best I could in high school, I felt a natural pull towards youth ministry. And then other people were affirming in me, hey, you're kind of good at this. You should consider this. And it was like, I could actually do this like for the rest of my life, you know? And so I do feel like the desires of my heart came to be. And same thing with finding Taylor or whatever, or even the churches I've been blessed to serve at is I'm just trying to delight myself in the Lord and he's lined up. I haven't gone anywhere I don't want to be. I haven't done anything I don't want to do yet, you know? And so I think that kind of goes along with what you're saying there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. I love the conversation. Of course, it's between you and the Lord, but that you're doing that in community with other people seems like that is maybe this is me, the old man on my lawn, like the angry old guy. I don't mean it that way, but it seems like that's more of a lost assumption in how people make decisions. Like, I hope we're the kind of church where we see evidence of God's grace in each other's lives and we call it out. Like if someone's serving in a way and you start to see a spiritual gift in them, give God glory and tell them, hey, I see this in you. And as we are that kind of church, we'll help each other discern our giftings and where God wants us to go. One thing I'd throw, I know we're just kind of like throwing a lot at the wall here, but if someone, a Christian, is trying to determine, is it God's will for my life to take job A or B, which means I move to city A or B, I know God wants you to be in a healthy local church wherever you live. So how is that part of your decision-making process? So I guess I would just encourage people like to lean into the church that God has you. I love your comment earlier, Jordan. We're not saying we know God's will for your life. We're going to tell it to you. But I promise you, like, you experience God's presence through his people. And one way in that is making good decisions about your life. So talk with other Christians about it. Be open to other ideas. And I think that helps us make these decisions and discern God's will in ways that are consistent with his will and what he calls us to be. So, yeah. You have a book here.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we mentioned books. One book that I have given out as a resource, especially to young people who are trying to figure out maybe if they feel some sort of call to missions or ministry, is called Is God Calling Me by Jeff Orge, who used to be the president of Gateway Seminary, and now he's the president of the executive committee. Is that what it is? Executive board for Southern Baptist Church? I don't know. It's a short little book. It's like 100 pages, and the pages are small and big text. You can read it pretty fast. But he talks about—
Why did you look at me when you said that?
I'm staring bullets at you. There might be an audio version. I don't know, Mike. Okay. But I mean, he talks about general calling of stuff we've kind of talked about, a calling to maybe just ministry leadership of serving within your church. And then he talks about a full-time call and talks through how you can help discern that or something. It's a great little book. This is not the 67th book of the Bible or whatever. It's not going to necessarily give you all the answers you need, but I think it would go along with the discussion we're having.
That's good. Kind of a subset of this discussion, welcome conversation amongst the life of GBC. So God calls each of us as believers, right? The call of salvation. I'd open it up for discussion. Does, to your point, Jordan, jumping off, does God call you into ministry? That idea of calling, where do we see that in scripture? What does it mean? Does God call you to ministry, or is there a better way to phrase that? Mm-hmm. Discuss amongst yourselves. But anyway, interesting discussion. Yeah. And one thing I wanted to throw out there, just again, kind of trying to like be a rock skimming over water of multiple conversations with people in the life of our church of, hey, how do I know God's will for my life? Again, an assumption that I think we should pull out onto the surface is we're making that decision in a broken world, and we're going to experience whatever the decision of that is in a broken world. Yeah. So if you're deciding, like I had to decide a different time, hey, what am I doing for work or career? Mm-hmm. I'm going to experience either with lots of thorns and thistles. So when Todd left from being a nuclear engineer to pursue a path of seminary professor, thorns and thistles on either. Whoever you decide to marry, I promise you that person has a
sin. Didn't have thorns and thistles.
No,
don't say
she didn't.
It. Don't say
no,
that.
But she has a sinful nature, and I do too. And so it's like all this stuff. So like, it's not like there's one like secret will where it's all like, you know, bliss all the time. Mm-hmm. It's something else, especially for younger people.
If you pick the wrong person, then you just blew it.
Exactly.
You're going to be miserable for the rest of your life.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's like a big reason why people have this question so often too, is just like the paralysis of choice?
I think so.
Yes.
I think because if you know what God's will is for your life, then it gets you off the hook for having to make a choice. Mm.
Yeah, that's a good way to put that.
And you can always blame God if things go hard and are wrong. And
yes.
So as a seminary professor, Todd, are you often having students say, where should I serve or what?
The big life decisions have already usually been made by the time they go to seminary.
That's true.
Right? Because they're like committed. People don't just accidentally show up at seminary or
it'd be awkward. Wait, where
parents,
am I?
Parents don't send their kids to seminary hoping they're going to, you know, get straightened out at seminary.
That's true.
So, but choosing between possible churches and that sort of thing. Yeah, that happens quite a bit. Yeah. And then we just pray for wisdom. We think about strengths and weaknesses and pros and cons and just try to make a good choice at that point. An old book, Gary Friesen's Decision Making in the Will of God.
Ooh, nice.
I haven't read it in a long time, so I don't know if I hesitate to endorse something that I haven't read in a while. But it was helpful at the time, and I think the general categories are still pretty appropriate. He tends to talk about how there's no dot in the middle, that you just got to hit that dot of, you know, just you live wisely and you don't go outside the revealed will of God, but within that.
Yeah.
Lots of options. I didn't answer the question about why I moved on from engineering to go to seminary. And I mean, I joke with people when they ask about, you know, I had this vision or dream or something, but it wasn't like that. I was just bored.
I love your candor, brother.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that was the spirit of God speaking to me through this, the lack of satisfaction that I felt, as well as my favorite time of the day was when I would leave the lab picture Fred Flintstone when the whistle blows and he's like yabba dabba doing it out of the rock quarry. When I left the lab to go do the ministry things I like to do, it was just so much more fun and for me. And so, yeah. I knew when I started seminary, I was still working at the full time as an engineer, and I knew that this would make me help me become a better teacher. And I was hopeful that that would end up being something vocational, but I didn't know for sure. But sure. I knew even if it didn't, I could still serve in the local church better. And
yeah.
Now, as I look back on it, I would have been super disappointed if I was still doing the engineering thing. But
isn't God so kind that how that's worked out in your life?
Amen.
It's amazing.
People, at times, strangely, people will talk about this great sacrifice I made, probably because they're thinking financial.
Sure.
It's like, oh man, there is no reward in heaven for me for this choice. I am amply rewarded now. Yes. I love what I get to do, and praise I feel God. Like I'm cheating the curse.
Cheating the curse. Yeah. I think it's important we talk about this. I know we've batted this around in different ways. By no means slighting or demeaning this question. It's a real question all of us have often, and I want to welcome it in the life of our church so we can help each other discern these things. I've hope GBC has heard us say, you know, pray a ton, seek God's word, seek counsel from other people, lean in and just serve, discover how God's gifted you. And in all of it, it'll never be like some perfect crystallized moment. It's a walk of faith. And so just want to encourage people to be in that in their life and seeking God's will and to do that in ways that are consistent with his revealed will. And I think it brings a lot of like excitement to life. Mm. It helps you be engaged with God's purposes in the world. And so much good comes from leaning in to this question. So yeah, anything else you would say? Just as reflecting on our conversation, if someone met with you next week and said, how can I know God's will for my life? Anything else you'd add to the conversation?
So listen to the news episode of Life Together.
That's right.
Good, good.
Yeah, I would say I appreciate that you would come to me and ask that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
Because a lot of times our self-appraisal isn't as accurate as others' appraisal of us.
Yeah,
that's a good word.
And there might be, and so it's good to go outside of, well, this is what I like to do and I think I'm pretty good at it. So this might be that you're actually not as good and you might be projecting something onto yourself. And so...
You sound like my middle school baseball coach that gave me feedback.
That's great. Right? That's right. You're not going to be the shortstop for the Seattle Mariners.
In fact, you're not going to be the shortstop for your little
league team. Sit on the bench.
It must have been tough in fourth grade to hear that.
I should have brought this up earlier.
Your coach was the dream squelcher.
He was. Hey,
it wasn't your dad, was it?
No. Okay, all right. No. That. Thank you for asking. One other tool. This is going to sound super nerdy of me. But this is like a doll family thing. There's so many ways to do it, but man, I'm a huge fan of writing out pro and con lists. I know that sounds overly pragmatic, not a secret life hack, but man, it's so helpful when you're making even big decisions. Write out pros and cons and then meet with people and show them your pro and cons list. Yeah. To your point, Todd, you're gonna have blind spots. You're not gonna have the right self-appraisal. Pray about it a ton, but it just kind of helps have something tangible in front of you. And then it helps you engage your mind because God's made you with a mind. So be logical, be thoughtful. So pro-con list, I think, is huge too.
That's good.
So Carrie has never shown me her pro-con list when I asked her to marry me. But pro-cons list are really good. So yeah. All right. Guys, thanks for the conversation, how to discern God's will in your life. GBC, love you. Hope this conversation has been helpful. And as you've heard us say throughout, the elders, the leaders of this church would welcome these kind of conversations. I hope members are having these kind of conversations over coffee in our homes, helping one another to trust and follow Jesus together. So again, hope this conversation has been helpful. Until next time, thanks.